Blog Talk Radio.
I may not have a license to kill, but liberalism dies a little every time I pull the trigger on it. This is a conservative's perspective. Hey everybody, James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective, on the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network, Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, well, you should be, because it is the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio that you're going to find, Mojo50.com. We also have a two-hour live version of the program, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. Go to blogtalkradio.com, type in Patriot Nation Radio. You'll see our lineup there with Conservative Perspective, United, the American Allegiance Program, the American Allegiance Program, and Patriot Nation Radio Live. Check them out, blogtalkradio.com, Patriot Nation Radio. Well, the games have begun. The concentration camp games in the People's Republic of China have started. I haven't watched any of it, don't intend to. Been catching some overviews, though. The athletes are being treated like Uyghurs, except I don't think they're using them to make Nike products. That's about the only difference. They're using them for entertainment purposes rather than for making Nike shoes. Pete Schweitzer's book is going insane. It's the number one on New York Times bestseller. It came out a little more than a week ago. And it's already at number one. It's massive. It's huge. And it is exactly what he says it is. These people have been caught red-handed. And not only that, the hand that is red is also communist red, because they're talking about what's going on with China. We talked about Hunter Biden and his companies and his deals and Sleepy Joe last week, and we're going to go into it a little bit more. This week, though, with the start of the Olympic Games, Nancy Pelosi is going to be front and center with some of the people that we're going to be talking about from the book Caught Red-Handed. Once upon a time, a staunch anti-communist, also virulently anti-China because of their massive and long-standing and egregious human rights abuses. But now last week, this virulent anti-communist admonishes American athletes not to speak critically of China for fear of offending the athletes' erstwhile hosts. Well, here's a little bit about our hosts in China. Here's what's going on with these guys. They're reportedly keeping coronavirus positive Winter Olympians in unreasonable quarantine conditions. Athletes and their delegations have blasted the quarantine hotels that they're sent to, the athletes that is, following a positive coronavirus test. My stomach hurts. I'm very pale. I have huge black circles around my eyes, and I want all this in. I cry every day. I'm tired, said Russian athlete Valeria Vaznetsova. Vaznetsova criticized the meals she received, which included plain pasta and orange sauce, charred meat on a bone, a few potatoes, and no greens. The meal was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Same thing, 5 days. While at the quarantine hotel, Vaznetsova did some research and concluded that the athletes were getting worse food. When fetching the food left outside her door, she took a glance at the boxes left outside the other rooms in her quarter, whose doors were labeled with signs to distinguish the Olympic athletes from other people working the games who tested positive, like team staff, for example. She concluded the athletes were getting worse food and underlined it with a picture of food served to her team doctor, who also tested positive, living two floors below her in the hotel. He had fresh fruit, a salad, and prawns with broccoli. I honestly don't understand, why is there this attitude to us, the athletes? She's not going to be able to compete. She's going to miss the entire competition due to her isolation. Now, at this point, or at least as far as you and I are talking, it's unclear which athletes must go to the quarantine hotels, as some who test positive and sent there and others are allowed to stay with their team inside the Olympic Village. Dirk Schimmelpfennig, head of the German delegation, called the quarantine conditions unreasonable after the three-time gold medalist Eric Frenzel tested positive. Schimmelpfennig said they needed larger, more hygienic rooms and more regular food delivery so athletes who are eventually released are still fit to compete. So they're deciding, they're testing, they're doing testing. And this is what it seems like to me, because again, we're dealing with Chinese communists, communists in general. Is it possible that they're taking a look at the athletes who present the greatest threat to China in the games and just to say, you know, hey, man, it's a shame that you're quarantined because you're not going to be able to compete. You came all this way to go stay in a bad hotel with bad food. That's next. And that's what. And who knows if that's not the case? That may well be the case. So they're taking these athletes. They're deciding who's going to compete and who isn't. And I'm sure if they're doing that, then they're trying to set it up to make it advantageous to the Chinese athletes, obviously. Is that what they're doing? I don't know, but that would be pretty cool if that's what they're doing, because that's just kind of how these
Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. Mark's having technical difficulty right now, but tonight's guest, I'm reading about, is coming on tonight. It's supposed to be Randy Davis. So hold on tight while we get this solved. So we're going to talk to Randy and talk about his family papers and local tribal headquarters. So when Randy comes on, I'll bring him on and have some questions for him. And as usual, some things happen like these, and happened to me yesterday on my show, but that's just what humans do, and that's how life works. But we have a caller on. Here we go. Let me cut that out for a sec. So anyway, we're having it's a beautiful Thursday. Everything's warming up here in Ohio and other parts of the country, thank goodness. A lot of news coming out this week, a lot of things happening. Caller, may I ask who this is? This is Mark.
Mark, the host.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Hello? You went off. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
No, I didn't go off. It just switched back. It switched automatically. So we're good.
Is that coming over?
Yes, it is.
You're listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, 347-637-3942. All right, looks like we're on. Ev, thanks. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how we're going to get my guest on the line. I have no idea how we're going to get the guest on the line for this show. I don't know what's going on, folks. We could not get in the usual way. For some reason, my phone would not call into the listener line that I use, the studio line that I use to do the show. Oh, crazy. I didn't even got the live feed going. Here goes the live. Well, what do you say? Well, tonight's show is going to be a good one. I can't even text my guests now, I don't think. Let me see if I can do that. I got to tell them. I don't know how to. I can even get him in. Let's see. Maybe I can add a call and add him onto my phone. I don't know. This is a real tragic situation when this happens. I'm going to do this, folks, while we're hanging out here, chilling. And we're trying to get this technologically challenged show off the road. When the show first started, it was we had a segment that we called the Trainwreck Radio Show. And we're back in that vibe right now, in the Trainwreck Radio Show, where just everything seems to be controlled by Murphy's Law as we try to get things rolling. I'm going to play this song real quick while I try to get this together. Dig it. This is Dave Bray, Freedom Ring. I don't know if you all hear it on the live feed.
For every soul from every war, across the seas, on our shore, for every fold of our flag, the coffins are laid, the widows laugh, for every daughter and every son, the price was paid for everyone, so remember him, cherish. Thank you.
have it, folks. That's Dave Bray's version, song, not version, Freedom Ring. You can get that at DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition, out now. Check it out. Let's see, how's this going to work? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this stuff throughout the whole show. So I think I got to unplug this microphone thing here. I don't know. Randy, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, brother. I hear you loud and clear. You got a little bit of an echo, though.
Yeah, that's my fancy little gig I got for Christmas.
That sounds cool.
Gives me that professional sound. I don't know if these headphones are working. I don't know if it's going out live over the air, but we are live. I want to say hello to everybody in the live feed. My guest tonight is Randy Davis, and I'm going to read something real fast, and then we're going to get into the show. Randy just wanted to obtain a box of his family papers from his local tribal headquarters. Little did he know his questions would bring down retaliation that included his daughter being kidnapped by CPS, theft, false imprisonment, unaccounted civil rights violations, and his name smeared and his livelihood lost. And his life was changed forever after. But folks, it's a heck of a story. It's unbelievable. And this is America. And so if you can hear Randy, I don't know if they can hear you in my live feed because I got the headphones plugged into the phone so I can hear the show. It's kind of kooky. I'm going to try something here real fast. Crap. Bear with me because for some reason we're having some serious technical difficulties this evening. For some reason, they probably don't want this message to get out, folks. It's usually the case. What was I going to say? Kevin, I'm going to ask you to chime in if you can still hear me after I pull this out. Say hello, Randy, to everybody out there in Radio Land.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. Rev it up.
Made it. I think we made it. I don't know what's happening. We are trying.
I can hear it, sir.
All right, good. So, Randy, your story starts how? First, introduce yourself, and if you have any anywhere where people can connect with your story, tell them where they can do that real quick.
Yeah, real quick. You can go to Team Rev It Up. That's R-E-V-I-T-U-P, TeamRevItUp.com, and that's the best way. Connect with us or Randy Scott Davis on Facebook. And I'm a Croatan Indian, Sampson County, North Carolina. All of my forefathers fought in the Revolutionary War, actually four of them, and they're on the National Monument for Native Americans in Washington, D.C. that they got built recently there in the last few years. And my family were all, they were what were called coopers. They worked with wood and metal. So they built barrels, wagons. They could build ships. They could build pretty much anything. And they were preachers, and they were farmers, and they were teachers, and they built the schools for the Croatan Indian. And that's pretty much, you know, where the whole story started, and it was a little bit of a quest for that that sent me down a path that I poked some bears I probably shouldn't have poked. And it ended up a disaster that led me to where I am today, advocating for other people that I feel need to be advocated for whenever they come to us.
Right. So you were doing research just on family history when this all started to unfold?
Yeah, what happened was, Mark, and my brother and I had started doing research and looking into who we really were. And it seems like a simple thing, but I can tell you who I am 11 generations back to 1650. Most people, and I have found this, it doesn't matter who they are unless they're from a really blue blood family. They can go back three, sometimes four, but they hit hiccups. And because we were Croatan Indians and my grandfather wrote a book, and it was really a petition to the state of North Carolina, and his name was Enoch Emanuel, but it was the Croatan Indians of Sampson County, North Carolina, a plea for separate education. And it was written by his lawyer, whose name was George Butler. But I got a hold of that book, and, you know, I think everybody really truly wants to know who they are. And we wanted to know who exactly we knew who we were. We knew we were Native. We knew, you know, the people that were alive. But we wanted to know more. And as we started digging, we found out that Grandpa was the historian for the tribe, and there were records all the way back to 1650. And so we started searching for them. And as I started searching for them, some people thought I was crazy. They actually called me an idiot savant, said that my IQ was so high that I was crazy. And in searching for these things, we ended up uncovering federal funding fraud with USDA, NAHASTA, Section 8, and a lot of different programs like Golden Leaf and things in North Carolina that were politically based. And after we found this with a local 501c3 to add our records, we went to it's called a Civitas meeting, and it's really a conservative meeting. It was held in Raleigh in 2012. And the speakers there were James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. He's in the news a lot lately. And James O'Keefe, we saw him there. We saw Katie Pavlich, and she's the editor for townhall.com. She's on Fox News pretty much every day. And we asked, because Katie was promoting her book, ATF Fast and Furious Story, and that was the story of the gun running and smuggling by Attorney General Eric Holder under the Obama administration. So we asked to show her a little bit of information after she had spoke. And she said, yeah, I'll give you about 30 minutes because I got a flight I got to catch. Well, she spent 4 hours with us because we had actual canceled checks. We had everything back and forth with HUD, internal documentation. We had things that politicians had done here in North Carolina. She saw it, and she told me, and this is how it all kicked off. She said, Randy, we're going to make you a writer. And I said, I'm not a writer. She said, you're a writer, and you're going to write for Watchdog Wire. And I said, well, okay. And she gave me a Twitter account. She gave me an editor. Her name was Ann Kane, and she made me a writer. So I became a writer with them, and then another lady contacted me with the American Spirit Foundation, that was an organization started by Jimmy Stewart, the actor. And at that time, it was Stan Lee of Spider-Man creator, and Will Smith, who were running it. So I was a whistleblower writer there. And before it was all over with, I had articles all over the place, and they were pointing out the fraud and the abuse of power and everything. And sure enough, they retaliated. When WRAL-TV 5 came out with a breaking news story, and it had me and my whistleblower in it, we didn't think anything of it. But we had poked the local bear, and 7 days later, there were cops who came. I live a quarter mile up in the woods off the highway. I like it because you can't see any houses.
I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a winding road up in here. But the problem is when you have people coming up in here, it's easy to defend, but only against people you can shoot at. So these people were coming up, and all of a sudden these guys come up here and try to ram the car. They're in unmarked cars, and we didn't know what the hell was going on. So we called 911 to see what had happened. And they said, we don't have any officers in your area. I said, well, why is these people chasing me here? As I'm going, it was dark. It was March 7th, 2014. So I drive down to a subdivision that's a little ways from here, and when I start to pull in, blue lights come on. But they're not regular blue lights. So a cop comes up and he asks me, he's not dressed like a cop. I'm like, who are you? And why are you pulling me over? And he won't tell me why he's pulling me over. He says, license and registration. I said, I'll be happy to give you that, but you're going to tell me why you're pulling me over. Well, at this time, we'd already been recording everybody everywhere we went because I'm doing this whistleblowing stuff. My daughter is 2 weeks away from 16, so she's in the car. The whistleblower is in the car. Her son's in the car. He's 2 weeks away from 16 years old. So this officer, finally, we find that I asked him, where's your badge? He said, we don't have badges. I said, you don't have badges? I said, what's your badge number? He said, we don't have badge numbers. I said, okay, you're going to tell me why you're pulling me over out here in the middle of nowhere. And I need to know now. So after I give him the license and registration, I said, why are you pulling me over? And he said, because I was told to. I said, because you were told to. That's not probable cause, and that's not. So these jokers held us for 3 hours, and then they called in DSS, and these people, we didn't know who they were, and they said all kinds of things, and then said, just follow us down to DSS, and everything will be okay. And I said, these kids have been in a car for 3 hours. We're not following you anywhere. I'm going to talk to a lawyer, and then I'll be happy to go where. Oh, if you're going to talk to a lawyer, then we're not we're going to take these kids. I said, you're not taking anything. And the cops, all of this is recorded too, Mark. It's on Team Rev It Up on YouTube. You can see it all and a lot more. But finally that night I get arrested because they were going to beat me. And I had people outside the car videoing that I called in. We put a lot of the stuff live. And essentially what happened was they take my daughter and the whistleblower's son with no paperwork, no probable cause, they just wanted to shut me up. So we go to the first hearing, and I'm on the stand, and I ask, well, what are the allegations against me? And I haven't seen my daughter. I don't know what's going on. And they start reading them to me, and here's what it was. They read them to me, and they said, okay, a religious cult leader who is a prophet, who is a healer, who is a Baptist, who is an exorcist, who prays to China. And I said, okay, I don't know about praying to China, but I feel pretty confident in saying that if I wanted to pray to China, I could, or rock, or lizard, or anything else I wanted to pray to under the First Amendment. I said, but as far as the other things you've just described, a religious cult leader who's a prophet, who's a healer, an exorcist, and a Baptist, you just called me Jesus Christ. And Judge Louis Foy threw me out of the courtroom, just tossed me out of there. And I thought, what in the heck have I got into here? And before this thing is over with, that night they had charged me with failure to heed a blue light, obstruction of an officer, and let's see, what was the other one? Resisting arrest. And so I represented myself. I won. I was arrested 3 separate times, charged 9 different times. The last thing was obstruction of justice. And the reason they did that was the sheriff said that I had hung up my cell phone on him. And I said, hung up my cell, it's my cell phone. If I want to hang it up on you and I don't want you calling me, I said, I think I can. And so I won that one, but they just put me in jail under what they called a secret order. I said, a secret order? What in the hell is a secret order? So I get somebody down to supposedly pay a bond. They take me out of my cell. They take my picture and said, okay, take him back to his cell. I'm like, wait a minute. I've bonded out of whatever secret order it is. The bond's been paid. And you're putting me back in there? Yeah, we're going to put you back in there. I said, this is crazy. So it took me 5 months to figure out how to get a writ of habeas corpus done. And a friend of mine, the whistleblower, she filed it. And within 24 hours, they just let me out. They let me out. And that is the thing that made me think, you know, if this could happen to you, it could happen to anyone. It can happen to anybody at any time. And what I'm seeing now, you know, of course, there's a lot more to the story, but time's not going to let us tell that whole thing. But here's where I'm at, Mark, is the point of we have a government now, and I'm watching it as I watch Tucker Carlson here. And we're seeing where people are told to basically, you wear this mask, you take this needle, you go here, you go there, and people are conditioned now to do it. They're just conditioned to do it. And that's not how my people were. That's not how we were raised. We weren't raised to just be told what to do. We used common sense and we thought things through. You know, it's not about being anti-government, but you've got to think, number one, does this even agree with the Creator? Is this what the Creator would have you do? You know, is this suitable in a religious setting, even though there is no religious cult, by the way, But does this fit with my morals and values? And we're seeing people now that it looks like about half of America is okay with whatever the government wants to do. They just trust them. And a part of me at that time, I trusted that, you know, they can't just do that. There has to be another agency that would keep them from doing that. And what I found, there isn't one. There's no accountability in this situation, and they use so many tactics to get you corralled into a case that you can't get loose from it using common sense, using evidence, using the rule of law, or using anything else, because they don't allow it in the courtroom in these little administrative courts that have been created for family court and family law. It's like a no man's land in there. And so that's what led me on the mission to go out and educate people. And that's what we do. We don't give legal advice. We're not lawyers. We don't want to be lawyers, but we go out and educate people as to what their rights are. And because of it, honestly, we're hated. We're sometimes hated by other advocates, but we're definitely hated by the government, and they don't like it. I'm not affiliated with either party, even though originally I am conservative, but originally I was Republican, and then I found out the Republicans were doing the same thing as the Democrats were. It was just a different office building. You know, there were some things on both sides, and I'm telling you, if you're out there and you're looking at whether somebody's got a D or an R behind their name, you're messing up, folks, because they will sell you out on either side, and it's all about control. And I hear everybody all the time saying it's about money, but the government's printing money. It's not about money. They should print more money if they wanted more money, and they are. But it's about controlling the population. Now, I agree, they do use that money sometimes to control certain portions of the population, because there are certain ones that will sell out for anything. But really, it's about control, and, you know, that's where I am, and that's what little bit I do to try and make a difference in people's lives, Mark. That's why I'm here on your show.
Because they don't like you to spread truth. Give me a couple of seconds here, Randy. We got a bottom of the hour. You know how the bottom of the hour goes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Patriot Nation radio show, and we are live. This is going to work.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And that's right, folks. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live, and we have Randy Davis on. His story's crazy. Here we go. It's the bottom of the hour, heading to the top. What's happening? Welcome back. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and I hope my effects are working and it sounds cool. And we're back to it. All right, Randy, so you went through a heck of a lot there, and in the long run, and in the end, in court, you won. What was the, I guess, penalty or the accountability on the other side? Did they just walk away? Did anybody get in trouble? Were you able to clear your name and all that fun stuff, or did they just get away with it?
They just got away with it. And here's the whole thing. They're not going to get away with it forever, because I had to wait until my daughter was in a safe position. My daughter did a there's a post. She posted it because it popped up in a memory from 7 years ago the other day. And it was her holding a missing and exploited children's poster from Walmart with her picture on it. And the reason that happened is because our local sheriff, Jimmy Thornton, he was in on all of this. And he was going to other counties and searching houses. I mean, it was totally without jurisdiction. There was no reason to be doing all this. The case was over. But they put her on there. And the sheriff in the other county, his name is Moose Butler, he had his attorney, Ronnie Mitchell, to contact me. And he said, you know, your sheriff, he wants to knock you off. I said, yeah, I know, but what am I going to do, Ronnie? He said, well, you bring Cheyenne over to Cumberland County Sheriff's Department. She'll walk in. You stay out in the car. We'll give her a piece of paper, send her back out to you. I'll give you 30 minutes to get away from here so that Thornton don't come over here and find you. And then once you're free from this, we're going to call him and tell him that we took her off the bolo and to shove it up his rear end, and that's what they did. And then we would go to the Walmarts everywhere, and she would say, hey, that's me up there on that poster. And the Walmart managers would freak out. They would say, oh, my God. She's like, yeah, go call the FBI and tell them. And they'd go in and call the FBI, and they'd say, give her the poster. You know, she's collecting them everywhere. And that was her way of getting therapy for this, because I can tell you, it doesn't matter whether you win fast like we did, and then she went into hiding, because that's what she did. She went into hiding and did a video called Help Me Get Back to My Dad. And that thing got 100,000 views in like 2 days. And it was because she was honest. And that was while I was in jail, part of that 5 months. But you will never be the same after government has done this to you. My daughter's not the same. She is good. She's enlisted right now, okay? And her husband is, he was about to deploy from here at Fort Bragg just the other day, and they sent him home, and now he's waiting right now because he's going to be deploying to Poland for the Ukraine situation. But she's also enlisted, and she's excited about this. But what DSS did in order to shut me up, it changed everybody in my family. I mean, you can't come through it and not have PTSD, not be looking over your shoulder, not be thinking weird thoughts. You will never again, you know, it's like this. You can turn a cucumber into a pickle, but you can never turn a pickle back into a cucumber like it used to be. And that you can be a good pickle, though, and that's really the best you can hope for after that, because they can't make you whole. But, you know, the lawsuits are going to help. That money is going to help, but it's never going to make us whole again.
When CPS took your daughter, what was their what did they say was the reason that they were taking her?
They said the reason they were taking her was because I was a religious cult leader, and let me tell you what they did. My daughter was sitting there and reading them the laws that night because she knew Katie Pavlik. She said, you know what, y'all are going to regret doing this. This is exactly what we've been filming about. We're filming you right now. And then they got mad because she was filming. And she was a National Honors Award winner, Mark. All right, and this little girl put it to them. So what did they do? When they took her, they tried to go have her involuntarily committed that night because they said that she was, quote, combative after having been held for 3 hours in a car with all the doors open, 3 hours in the freezing cold. And if I had done that or you had done that, we would have been put in jail for endangering children in a cold. But not DSS. So what happened next is education. I had to learn a lot about education because they moved her into another county, and they used they didn't have court orders, so they used what's called the McKinney-Vento Act in order to get her into the other school. And they do that because that's the Homeless and Immigrant Act for education. All these kids that are coming across the border, that's what they're using to fund their educations wherever they are. My daughter wasn't immigrant, and she definitely wasn't homeless, but they stooped to that level. So they fought me on getting the records. So I took them down with a FERPA complaint that I filed and learned how to do, and it took a long time, and then the news wrote about that because the federal funding for the state of North Carolina was going to be shut off if they didn't rectify it. And they had to give me her records in the end, and then they had to teach all their districts about the Davis case and FERPA and why you have to give the parent their educational records, because they have constitutional right as a parent to those records.
Right.
And see, that's the thing people don't understand. We all know there's a Constitution, Mark, but if you don't exercise your rights under that Constitution, you may as well not have it. It doesn't do you any good if you do not exercise them.
They don't like if you have knowledge, constitutional knowledge. You know, I'm going to tell you something that's worked for me here in Florida many, many times now, and it's pretty incredible. I always have a pocket constitution wherever I go. And the last four times I was pulled over for going a little too fast on my way to work or on my way home from work, as all four times was commuting to my job. With my registration and my insurance, I hand a pocket constitution to the sheriff and thank him for his service. They come back with a warning every time.
I think that's great.
You know, this guy's got constitution in the car and he's handing it to me. Maybe I should just let this guy go. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, Florida's a little better. Here in Sampson County, they'll throw it in the ditch and take you right behind it. That's the problem. Some of these little good old boy networks, and my son lives in Florida. He's listening. He's a personal trainer down there, but he did 4 tours in Enduring Freedom, got battle combat ribbons, and he's listening. He's in Tampa, and he loves Florida.
He's in Tampa.
You know? Yeah, he's in Tampa
what's
over
his
there.
Name?
His name is Shane Davis.
Shane, well, what's happening, Shane? We are here in the Tampa area. We are north in Hernando County. Welcome. Thanks for listening. We are just getting the whole story in. It's pretty insane. It's pretty incredible what's happening in the good old U.S. of A. Last week, I had a gentleman on, I got some friends on, Paul and Jim and Alyssa and George are on the live feed, and some of them may have heard this story with my friend Jim, who was working the border. He was, during President Trump's border wall building situation that happened, and he went down to New Mexico to assist with the Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol gave them guys instructions, told them exactly what they needed to do. And so they were out in the desert in the middle of the night, and New Mexico is an open carry state, so guys are allowed to have their weapons and walk around, you know. And so the Border Patrol guy said, if you come across a group of immigrants, ask them just to sit down. If they listen, great. Have them sit, call us, and we'll come and start the process. So they came across a group of illegal immigrants that just crossed over the border. And they said, hey, sit down. Well, they all sat down. A couple of the guys, New Mexico residents, had their guns with them, and they were walking around. And the news media happened to be floating around. And they said, oh, my God, these guys are holding these poor people at gunpoint. And my friend Jim here, he's a friend of the show for a long time now, is videotaping the whole thing. Well, guess what? The only person that got arrested was Jim. And it was because he was videotaping the truth of what was going on down at the border, and they didn't want that to get out. So they hammered him. He wound up doing 2 years and like a year of house arrest or something like that. And he was held for almost a year before he even was processed, arraigned and got court dates. So he was in for a total of 3 years because he was trying to spread the truth. This is happening in America. Like, it's really crazy. It kind of makes the Nazis look like a day in the park with Barney. You know what I mean? It's really insane. The only thing they're missing now is the concentration camps and the extermination of dead people. And I think that they're trying to do that to the unvaccinated.
I think they are. I think, and I'm going to tell you, those cameras, we back during that time, nobody was really filming everything in 2014. And we had them all because we were doing the undercover stuff about our own tribe. And we would go to court over in Sampson County. You go through the metal detectors. And I remember one day I'm videoing. And all of a sudden the bailiff said, Davis case, you can have no electronics. And I said, just the Davis case can have no electronics in here? Yeah, just the Davis case. Well, after that, I pitched a fit, and of course, the Chief Justice Hardison, he did an administrative rule for the whole district, which is 4 counties, including Onslow, where Camp Lejeune is. And now, nobody can carry anything electronic into these courtrooms. So it makes it more difficult to film, but, we came out and we've got ink pens and all kinds of things that are really good video cameras, earbuds, every kind of thing. And we were still videoing, and it made them so mad. And I believe there was a total of 21 different people who quit because of us filming them. And, if you quit your job because somebody filmed you doing it, you were doing something wrong on your job.
Right.
And that's the whole thing there. So recording calls, North Carolina is a one-party consent state. So we recorded everything and played it back to them. And in the end, that was really what pushed everything over the edge. Not only did they not have a case, we had everything documented. And this is a true story.
Right.
This should give chills to anybody. But this whole foster care system thing is such a racket. But my daughter, I had sneaked her a phone because they didn't want her to have one. And whenever she got the phone, I was told by a guardian ad litem, now this is a person there to look out for the rights of the child, that my daughter, who was now just turned 16, was going to play, you know, was going to be in the band on Friday night. Well, I'm thinking football games, the band. Well, I'm sitting here at the house, and all of a sudden her little red dot, because you know I got a GPS tracker on there goes her little dot moving around. That little dot went out on Bragg Boulevard on Fayetteville to a place called the Drunk Horse at 10:30 at night, a bar. So I'm like, yeah, I'm right behind it. They left there because they couldn't get in. They go over to East Fayetteville, which is an even worse part than Fort Bragg. And they go into the rock shop, but they've been shut down by the fire marshal. So they leave from there, and they're headed back out Ramsey Street. And whenever they turned into a cookout, I went in there, and I flew off like a cheap hubcap. And I said, let me tell y'all something. I've been following you as you take my daughter here to every bar you could take her to, and you can't get in there, telling me she's going to play in a band. Oh, well, she was going to play in a band in the bar. I said, in a bar? She's 16. I said, I tell you what, you're going to have my daughter over at my cousin's house in the morning at 8 o'clock, or I'm going to go down there and tear the whole place all to pieces. And the next morning, they had my daughter over there. Then we go to court, and Judge Stevens wrote an order telling them that they had 24 hours to return my daughter. It took a total of 6 months, which is unheard of. But after that, after the case was over, that's when they arrested me. That's when they still wouldn't leave us alone, Mark. They were going in other counties. They were pinging the phones. They came here to the farm, crossed gates, filmed through my windows. There was no due process. There was no nothing. And I'm telling you, I'm stepping out there right now by saying this because I've got current cyber stalking charges from a woman who I've already defeated so many times, because when you call out a fraud, they'll try and silence you. It is like you said, it's like Nazi Germany. They'll do the same thing DSS does, and they want to have you shut up. So they'll take you for a DVPO, or they'll take you for a restraining order, or they'll take you for they'll send you these little cease and desist. You know, I've had several of the clinical psychologists, I call them whores of the court, because they're paid psychologists to say whatever DSS wants them to say, and I'll get a packet from their lawyer, you know, this is a cease and desist, and I'll post it on Facebook and tell them to shove it up their rear end, you know, because I'm not going to be silenced. I'm not going to have my First Amendment right be violated simply because they don't want me telling the truth in order to combat their lies. But you'd be amazed at the people who claim to be advocates for a parent and they're against this corrupt system with DSS, but they'll turn around and they'll do to you or me or anybody that supports us, they'll do the same things to us as DSS does to them. It's amazing.
And here's some things I learned about these departments of children and families, CPS, Child Protective Services, and organizations like this that are federal. They are legalized child trafficking, and for every child they take out of a home, they get a payout. And I believe in the state of Oregon, they are the highest state in the nation for child abductions by CPS, Department of Children and Families, whatever it is that they have out there, that they get 50 grand for every kid they rip out of a home. So for that big payoff, you would think they're going to do that at every chance and every possibility they can to get these kids out of home. I believe in Florida, it's one of the states, and I think in Florida, for every kid they get out of the home, it's still ridiculous. It's child trafficking for profit by the government. and they pass these kids from agency to agency and group to group, and it's all about the money. You follow the cash, you see the corruption. You there, Randy?
Yeah, I've got you. I didn't know I had a little time out there. Let me tell you something else they do here. You're right. It's always about, you know, it's always about money. But this is a true story. Your listeners are not going to believe this, but I can show it to them. And when Sebastian's here in my house now, he's 19 now. I started advocating for him when he was 12 or 14, and he was in Wake County, and they had illegally taken him. Well, they had put him in 16 different foster placements. And I thought, man, that's wild. And I started digging into his situation, and one of the places they placed him was in a Shavelia Morin's house. She's a therapeutic foster mother. And Shavelia Morin also has Miss Chevy's place, which is a group home. Well, here's the interesting thing. Shavelia Morin doesn't have a Social Security number. Shavelia Morin is a Haitian refugee. Shavelia Morin has a double wide in Franklin, North Carolina, and she has 9 vehicles. The last two she had there at that time were a Range Rover and a Hummer. And whenever you look into Shavelia Morin, the Haitian, the group home that she has is for Syrian refugee men who have mental disorders, and she's paid by the state and federal funding in order to, quote, assimilate them. In other words, she's paid to bring in other refugees. She's a refugee herself. Then she has a therapeutic foster home for children that she runs out of her home, and she commingles the two, which is highly illegal. It doesn't even make sense. But the amount of money that's moving all around in this mega, you know, monolith of greed and money and corruption is unbelievable, and you wouldn't believe that this could happen. And Sebastian told me what she would feed them is she would make this giant pot. It was almost like being in a mess hall in boot camp, and it would be a big thing of chicken and rice, and that's what they had every day. It was like the least amount of whatever they could give every single day. And I've watched so many times as kids are removed from a home because maybe dad lost his job. He couldn't pay the electric. And so they cut the power off, so they take them. Or they had dirty dishes. And, you know, if I saw dirty dishes in the sink, it would mean somebody's cooking, somebody's eating. And so why is there a problem? You know, I don't see that as an issue, but you see these kind of things, and you see any excuse they can to remove a child. And here's an interesting thing for your listeners, too. I did a little poll one night because I got to thinking every single time that they messed with me was on a Friday night after 6 o'clock. And I thought, I wonder how many other people. Because it frustrated me because I couldn't get to a lawyer, I couldn't get to a clerk, I couldn't get to a courtroom for 2 days. Well, I put out a little poll one time, a poll, and I said, which day of the week was your child taken if it was an emergency removal? And it was 90% of the people were taken on Friday nights. That can't be that just everybody goes crazy and starts abusing children after 5 on Friday. You know, and Saturday they just slack off, you know, they just stop. And there, that tells you it can't be an emergency if it's happening at exactly the same time, you know, almost within a few hours on one day of the week. But those are the things that frustrated me and made me think, you know, if they could do this to me, because I did grow up here. I grew up here on the tobacco farm. We were poor. We were Croatan Indians. We didn't have a lot of connections. But I moved to D.C. I lived there 15 years. I was a stockbroker. I designed aeronautic interiors and created flame blocking for part FAR 90 and 120. And then I became, pretty good in sales with automotive and then with real estate. And so I was okay. And I learned some stuff, but when I came back here, I think that the county thought, well, he's stupid. You know, he hadn't been anywhere. He hasn't learned anything. We can just run all over him. And, you know, when you look back at how these things happened, the first people to get messed with were the American Indians. You know, natives were the first people that were messed with. We're going to give you a place to stay. We're going to move you. We're going to make sure you're taken care of. Well, you move from that, and then all of a sudden you've got the projects. So you have African Americans moved into the project. They would go after their kids. Then it's the trailer park. Then it's the people in the rural areas. Now what's happened, though, Mark, they've had to step up their game. They're going everywhere except gated communities. They're going in middle-class families, upper-class families. If lawyers are out of line, they'll take their kids. It doesn't matter. They'll take kids from anybody now. And I think the level of awareness is way higher because their prey has wised up. You know, there's people like you out here spreading the word. You're seeing why people become educated. And I'm glad to see it because I can tell you, you know, 7-8 years ago when I first faced it, there was nobody doing anything. Nobody that knew anything. There were some nut jobs that were running around with crazy stuff. But overall, nobody knew what was really happening. And now there's at least an awareness that never existed before. Yeah. So, you know, I thank you for what you're doing. And I admire it greatly. Reb Ryder, I admire him. Rapid Fire Radio.
I think with simulcasting right now, I'm possibly on Rapid Fire Radio. Reb usually puts us live over his network there.
Reb is a great patriot, too.
Yeah, we've been connected for many years now.
Same here.
Yeah. And it's great. I'm glad to know him. He's got a good show, and he's doing great things. Folks, if you don't like my show, go check out Rapid Fire Radio with Reb Ryder. He's doing great things. Now, your case is crazy. There's so much crazy going on in the world. But you know what, folks? I want to give a huge hooray, a cheer. I want to clap and dance and sing because the truck drivers are delivering freedom. God bless them guys.
Amen.
They're doing amazing stuff. And guess what? I saw a story where a guy was like, my business is booming like never before. And the truckers are coming in and sweeping our floors and washing our dishes and serving our clients for free. Like, what? And then they're calling these guys terrorists. But Black Lives Matter and Antifa can burn down cities, and they're just peaceful protesters. It's really like, what? Unbelievable. And I back the truckers 100%. I think they're doing great stuff. I'm looking forward to the convoy to D.C. I hear there's a group going to go down by the border, and I hear there's a group that's going to head up to the Super Bowl. And I believe all three groups are not affiliated together. I think they're all separate groups. Convoy to D.C. is its own entity. It has a northeast leg. I think it has a southeast leg and a out west leg. There's California truckers are heading to D.C. right now as we speak, I believe. And God bless them because finally we might have a voice that will be listened to, because when the truckers stop, everything stops, and folks are going to learn this lesson the hard way, because that's the only way people learn lessons sometimes. And so they want to cancel Joe Rogan. They want to burn down cities and attack federal agents inside police buildings and injure. Well, here we go. We're going to show you how you do it peacefully and do it the correct way, but we'll be the terrorists. We'll be the horrible ones because we're the honkies, the whitey, oh my goodness, the conservative patriot is an evil terrorist in their eyes. As we sweep the streets and shovel snow, and I've been on many overpass rallies where we went out and stood on overpasses and waved our flags and hollered, impeach Obama. And we did hundreds of rallies, and when we left, the place was cleaner than when we got there. And we're terrorists because we love peace and freedom. We love the American dream and the Constitution. And oh my goodness, because of 9/11 and the Patriot Act, that now makes you a terrorist. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in freedom and liberty, you're a terrorist in the eyes of alphabet agencies in the United States these days. And I say this, folks, when it comes to this cancel culture crap, if they are canceling it, we must go out and subscribe to it, whatever it is. Because if they're canceling it, that means we like it. You know, we got to stand up for those folks that are being canceled and uncancel them. And pretty soon, what are they going to do? I think it's great that Rumble came out and offered Rogan $100 million to switch all his stuff to them. I say he should jump on it immediately. GoFundMe. Look what they did to the truckers. Well, guess what? Give, send, go, like doubled the money in like a couple of days because I think the people got their money back from PayPal and then they gave double to give the tyrants up in Canada are now arresting the poor people bringing gas and food and supplies to the truckers. They are really acting like tyrants, like real tyrants. Like it's not like, you know, something you're seeing on TV or reading in a damn book. It's happening. George Orwell's book is way overshadowed. He missed the mark by miles. Yes, we're in a surveillance state. Yes, they listen to watch everything we do. And not only that, but they violate our Fourth Amendment rights, Eighth Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, every right. The Bill of Rights has been shredded. Unless you know how to word things and fill out affidavits and make claims and do all these things legally through the courts, you have no chance. And they make it so difficult that the regular person can't do it himself, so he has to hire a lawyer. Guess what? A regular person usually can't afford a lawyer. But they get appointed a lawyer, some slouch who almost flunked out of law school and doesn't even want to be a lawyer. You know, my live feed just cut out. Oh, well. We're still live on the radio, and we're having a good time talking with Randy. And I was just ranting.
And I'm going to tell you what, Mark. I've had this happen, and I'm not kidding you. There are people out there. They're claiming to be advocates, and they're claiming to help people. And they will do things to hack your show. They will do things to try and get it to collapse. They will mess with it, tinker with it. And I don't get it. I really don't. And I don't know if it's jealousy or meanness or just evil in these people, but it happens. And I'm listening to what you're saying. And you know, the thing people need to understand, we do. We have a government that's become too big. It doesn't care about its people anymore. It's supposed to be for us, not us against them. And this Rule 230, which was created by Congress, is how Facebook is able to go out and ban me. I mean, I usually stay in Facebook jail more than I'm not. And it's how GoFundMe and all these big tech oligarchs are able to keep functioning because under Rule 230, they can't be sued. And see, that is really what the problem is with all of this is cops have got quasi-judicial immunity. They've got sovereign immunity sometimes. All of these agencies have immunity. So if you know that you can't be sued or it's at least extremely hard to be sued, then you know that law firms don't want to jump in and put out $200,000 for depositions and no telling how much money in hours in order to get a case to trial. Because if they lose, they've lost that money, and they can lose simply because of a motion to dismiss under Rule 12B. So that immunity is what has to go. It really has to go in order to get back, because when people think they have immunity and you can just get away with anything, it's like being the son of the king. It's like being Hunter Biden. You see, Hunter Biden's walking around with immunity. None of us
and
could get away with yeah. I mean, who can imagine that you could have ever thought that, you know, they were mad at Trump because he'd do mean tweets, and I'm watching Joe Biden call people SOBs and reporters, that's a stupid SOB, and then his son, his daughter is all mixed up too, and here's something your people need to know, is that Biden's daughter is huge in social services. That's what her degrees are in Pennsylvania. She was really big into it. In Obamacare, there's actually a provision in there for what's called peer-centered parenting. And peer-centered parenting is exactly what it sounds like. And that's where, even if you don't have a DSS case, just because you have children in the home, that's where they want to send a social worker into your home to watch you sometimes as you prepare meals, as you discipline children, as you go through the homework, as you go over their medical facts, so they can observe you and tell you how better to parent your child. And I think that is absolutely insane. That's way too much overreach for government to have, mm-hmm. to be able to just come in your house and root around and try and look for ways to, quote unquote, help you. But there's about half of America, apparently, that's okay with government just coming in and telling you what you can and can't do. But there's some of us that we don't go for that. And what do? They do exactly what you just said about Rogan and the truckers, and God bless Canada, eh? These guys, I would have never thought Canada would have took the first stance like this, but there they are, and they're standing tall. But these guys will come in, and they will label you, and they will say, oh, Davis is verbally aggressive. And you're like, verbally aggressive? His emails are very threatening. And you hearing me speak now, that's how I would speak to them then. But it's not aggressive. It's not a threat if you say, here's the law. Here's where you're violating it. You should stop doing this. They take that as a threat because nobody ever questions them. And when I was little, I don't know about you, Mark, but we would be in school and there would be a kid in the class and he would ask a stupid question. I'm telling you, it would be – and we would say, that's a stupid question. And the teacher would jump us and say, there is no such thing as a stupid question. And I thought, okay. So I went through my life thinking there's no such thing as a stupid question. Well, if you get to asking these social workers or anybody, the cop or anybody else, anything, they're going to lay, that's a stupid question. We've seen our president say it to reporters. That's a stupid question, USOB. Since when did questioning authority and speaking truth to power become stupid? I don't know, but that's what I'm seeing. I don't know how it is in Florida, but that's how it is here.
It's pretty scary stuff. Randy, I'm right here at the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Give out your website again so people can go check it out. And you said there's videos there, stuff that you videotaped, and links to YouTube where they can watch your story live. Well, not live, but, you know, recorded on you know, all these channels. How can folks connect?
The folks can go to teamrevitup.com. That's team, R-E-V-I-T-U-P.com, and that's the website. Or they can just go to two words, teamrevitup, R-E-V-I-T-U-P, on YouTube, and we'd love to have you over there, and we'd love to have you subscribe to the YouTube so we can just go live from there because Facebook is a pain in the butt.
Excellent. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Next week, who knows what's going on? I reached out to some folks. There's a nice lady I reached out to. She's doing some wonderful things, and her organization is, or her group, her chat that I'm on with her is Whose Children Are They? They're quite an interesting group. I've been talking with them. I'm trying to book them. I don't know if they're going to make it for next week, but I'm always looking out for the kids and the country and freedom and liberty and the American way of life. I wish more people would. So we have these platforms where people can do this, and it's amazing, and I love doing this. It's a good time. Where the heck is this lady? I reached out to her today. Oh, yeah, Whose Children Are They is their group. You can find them on Facebook. And I'm reaching out to that group to get them on. Of course, again, you never know when you email. Sometimes I just want to pick up the phone like I did with you, Randy, and talk. But some people love email. They like to email. And I hate email. So right now I'm in email negotiations with a couple of people. It gets a little irritating sometimes. But we had a great show tonight. It was a little technical difficulties getting it started. I want to thank our producer, Kevin White. He has a show. It's the American Allegiance Show on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. You can go there. We have 1,096 episodes over 9 seasons, over 9 years, all kinds of shows, great things. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes it's some great guests we've had on the network, on various shows, people like General Flynn, Colonel Allen West, and many, many other great guests, Sebastian Gorka, and things like that. So, and you also want to check out our good friend, James Bostic, who right now is in a little bit of training. He's a teacher, a great teacher for some great students, and they have he does great things with his students. And I would like to let you know that his show is A Conservative's Perspective. And right now he's heard on Tuesday nights. Normally it's Tuesday and Thursdays. Both times are 7 p.m. Eastern on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And we all are just having a great time spreading truth and doing what's right, using our voice, using our First Amendment, and standing up. The kids, clergy, the Second Amendment, the January 6th political prisoners, the truckers. We want back anything that supports America, freedom, liberty, the American way of life, and the Constitution. We back it 100% here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And, of course, we love our friend Dave Bray. If you know our show, you know that we always play the Dave Bray jams like you heard at the beginning of the show. And this is a version of the Star Spangled Banner that I like to play every week, every time I do a show, since I know Dave. I know Dave now for years, since he was in Madison Rising. Long, long time. It's like 2014 I linked up with him in Madison Rising and been playing their music and his music and everything on the show for years now. And so with that, I would like you to head on over to his website, DaveBrayUSA.com, and get Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition, as well as merchandise and other music. He just put out a new CD, unfortunately. I can't think of the damn name of it right now, but we'll have to get him on to promote it. It's really good. He's got some great songs. We played him here on the show. But this is his version of the Star Spangled Banner. And at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag and we kneel for the cross. And this is the Star Spangled Banner, performed by Dave Bray. DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition. You can get this version. Please rise and face the flag if you have that chance and opportunity, and remove your hats and show respect for the men and women who defend that flag, the Star Spangled Banner. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and until we meet again, it's the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. Good night, and God bless.